This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Helen, and I stopped drinking alcohol almost exactly 7 years ago. When I stopped drinking, I really felt a lot of benefits. My health was better, my finances were better, my attention was better, and I really felt like I started to kind of grow up as a person. At times it was still difficult, at times even now, I feel like sometimes it's hard to explain to people why I don't drink, and sometimes still I feel like I'm a bit alone on this journey. But a couple of years ago I found Over the Influence, and that really changed things a lot for me. And I just felt like I wasn't alone in this journey anymore. It's just so nice to have this massive connection with all these like-minded people. Come along to Over the Influence and be part of an amazing community.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Welcome to yet another, we're still going, yet another fabulous episode of Over the Influence. As Freddie would say, probably the fastest growing alcohol-free podcast on the planet. Is that big enough, Freddie?
Make sure you get the probably in there before the lawyers start calling us up. But we are probably the fastest growing on the planet.
It's hosted by myself, Shazza, Sharon Hartley. I'm nearly 47, which horrifies me. Approaching 800-ish days, alcohol-free, three kids, one husband, full-time job, up to my eyeballs, and still sober and still loving it. Co-hosted. I'm not the host, I'm the co-host, because the other half to this debacle is Freddie Bennett. Freddie, just tell us a bit about yourself.
Shazza Hartley, shall I compare thee to a summer's day? It's always a pleasure to be your co-host. So yes, my name's Freddie. I am almost 39. I live in the northwest of the UK. I used to be that guy who was propping up a bar, stressed, depressed, flushing his life down the toilet. But then I stopped drinking 600 days ago, broke some world records, won some ultra marathons, did some other things, but most of all, is happy, which is what counts.
Absolutely brilliant. That warms my cockles, Freddie, that.
Well, that's what I'm here for, Shazza.
Fantastic.
I'm the cockle warmer.
Talking of cockle warmers, let's introduce Background Bear. Not that he's not really in the background anymore, because he spent that much time in our company. Background Ben, producer Ben, he too has decided to embark on a sober journey, and it's safe to say he's absolutely nailing it.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, no, my name's Ben. I used to work in the radio industry. I then started producing podcasts and met these two. Never even thought about going alcohol-free, but I'm now 3.5 months in and I've never felt better in my entire life. Woo! So thank you both.
Absolutely brilliant. Fantastic. So this series, series two of Over the Influence, it's been all about the mega guests. Now, at the risk of sounding a bit creepy, I have been stalking our next guest all over social media because I found it that inspiring. During the course of this and the people we've spoken to, we see a lot of transformations, both mentally and physically. And I think it's safe to say that our next guest we're going to welcome to the podcast is possibly one of the most breathtaking I've seen, actually, in terms of a sober journey. I'll shut up wanging on because I get carried away. We're really delighted to welcome Lucy Spraggan to Over the Influence. Lucy, welcome, and how are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. What a lovely introduction.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Sorry about the stalky bit, but it's true.
I've had like the social media side of things, you know, since, like you say, the transformational side of my life, it's just gone out of control. I get like thousands of messages a day, and it's never been like this.
And I'm really glad that you saw mine come through with all those thousands of messages saying, please, 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 will you come and share your story?
Well, I love the idea of the podcast. Do you know what? Me and my friend Siobhan, who's sober, we met like via Instagram, sobriety circles.
Brilliant.
We just like we just go around, like, say we get in a taxi and the first thing we say, we're like, you know, where are you going? Oh, can I go to the train station, please? And you're like, so, I'm sober. And and it's like all that we talk about.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's where to start, Lucy, talking about your story. For people that might not recognise your name, let's rewind to 2013 and you were on The X Factor as a contestant.
2012, so, even
was
longer
it 2012?
Ago.
2013 was when you did Last Night then, Beer Fear, is that right?
No, I did both. I mean, I played Beer Fear when I went on the show. So I'd written the song about a year before that when I was about 18. I went on the show when I was 19 or 20. So yeah, 2012 was when I was first sort of introduced to the wreckhead, similar thinkers as me at that time.
Mm. What a young pup you were. So you're still really, are you 29, Lucy?
Yes, yeah.
So you've got this single out now, and I think this just so sums everything up. It's called Sober. So start from there. Tell us about this song, and then we'll rewind and find out more about your life going back.
Sober, I wrote a week into deciding that I was going to get sober, and I decided I was going to be sober because my life... I'd been on the road for like 13 months consistently, and my life at home, where I was sort of grounded when I was home, and my life on the road had become completely separate. So like what I thought was my life at home, it wasn't my life. That wasn't what I was living. And I was living on the road. I was living a completely different life. And so the stress of that, my marriage was breaking down. The stress of that, I was like, every night I'm going to take the edge off this. I like don't want to think about this anymore. So it's not that I would get blackout every night. I wouldn't. I'd have a few beers here and there. And don't get me wrong, I'm very good at being blackout drunk as well. But it was the fact that alcohol had sort of worked its way so insidiously into the bona fide culture of my life that it was destroying me, really.
That's really powerful, Lucy. I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because when people think about going sober or changing their relationship with alcohol, there's always that misconception where, and I was certainly there as well, when you tell yourself, you know, I'm not waking up on a park bench every morning, I'm not having the blackouts every night, and then that must mean that it's all okay. But you're so right that it can really just creep into your life, and even without you realizing it, a drink here, a drink there, and then before you know it, it is starting to impact everything around you.
It's interesting because now I realise, you know, I would never, if someone was like, oh, I'm not drinking tonight, I'd be like, well, we may as well not go out.
Yeah.
Like, such a part, a huge fundamental part of me was drinking. I never knew a life without it.
It is like that. And I was in that crowd as well where, you know, you'd be like, what's the point of alcohol-free beer? Because it doesn't get you drunk, so why would you drink it? And all those sorts of things. And then you start to change those behaviours yourself. And then it's like, you know, the fog is lifted and you're like, oh, this is what normal is like. And I quite like it, really.
What I found brilliant, Lucy, I watched your video for Sober, and then straight away I clicked play on Last Night, Beer Fear. Oh my God. I mean, are you cringing that? I can see your face. You just went, oh.
It's just two very different, that you can't get more polar opposite.
Oh, it's breathtaking. I mean, Beer Fear, or Last Night as it's called, was obviously of its time. It's where you were then. Just talk us through where you were then. I mean, I've watched the video and it is really funny.
Well, it was just what I was. I've been drinking since I was like 12 or 13. I'm from a small town. There's not much to do. So every Friday we all meet down the park and get smashed. That's British culture, really. And so that had been all I'd done, and I write observational music, so everything that I write is like a social narrative or a personal narrative. So, of course, eventually one of my songs, and that's not the only, most of my songs mention drinking, like, across this is my sixth album that I'm doing, you know, all of the albums have had alcohol on them. And so last night I actually wrote it because I used to play in pubs and clubs and stuff, and I used to use it as my, you know, if the talk was getting a bit loud and people stopped kind of giving a shit that you were in there. Mm. And no one was like really listening. It would be my showstopper for like, all right, here's this song. I know you're going to like this one. And it would get people back into the performance. But it's like when I listen to it, if I put that song into a minor key and like played it really slowly, it's really sad. Like it's wish I could stop. And I'm not joking, drinking too much and socially smoking. Like if you put that into a ballad, it's like, it's kind of what Sober, the song Sober is. It's like...
It's mad, isn't it? Could you have ever imagined, Lucy, transforming so massively from that girl that was singing that song to...
No. There's absolutely no... Even if you'd have asked me 18 months ago, like, would this be me? I'd have actively laughed in your face. If you'd have told me I'd be sober for any period of time, I'd have laughed in your face. The night before I got sober, I drank like a litre of Jameson's as soon as I got in the door. Like life was mega stressful. Mm-hmm. We went out to this festival. My relationship was breaking up, but for some reason, my friends and her friends were all together. It was awful, like drama central. And instead of acknowledging that it was horrible and there's loads of drama, I just got steaming. And I woke up the next day and I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I am watching my entire life fall around and it doesn't even feel like it's happening because alcohol removes reality for you, really.
Well, like you said earlier, it takes the edge off, doesn't it?
And then you get the anxiety of the edge that you put on and you drink again to take the edge off again. And it's not like, oh, I've drank 20 beers. It's like I've just had one beer because I can't face thinking. Mm.
Yeah.
It's mad though, isn't it, Lucy? Because until you go sober, you know, you are surrounded by alcohol. Your social circle is completely alcohol-based. Every decision I made was based around when I could drink, who I could drink with, and how long I could drink for, you know, all the rest of it. We've all been there, done that, and spewed down the T-shirt most weekends, most nights. But when you remove yourself from that and you put your hands up, because, you know, as I said, I do follow you on social media and your honesty is astounding. And we'll talk more about that in a minute because that's something else I want to ask you about. When you put your hand up and you say, you know what, bollocks to it all. This is what I'm doing. I am knocking it on the head. I am changing everything. I am changing my life. You then realise, Lucy, you're not on your own because this is the entire sober community that you didn't even know existed, because, you know, I spent many years going, well, what a load of crap that would be.
Exactly. Mm. And actually, it would be, that's kind of why I am as vocal as I am, because I really felt at the beginning that I was just on my own. And so this time last year, I was on a 36-day tour around the UK, and it was my first ever sober tour. And people always ask the question about the correlation between the music industry and drugs and alcohol. It is, they coincide, they don't exist without each other. When you first start off in music and you're playing in people's pubs, they don't pay you in money. They pay you in beer. Mm. And so it gets higher than that. You go to festivals, you've got a rider. You go to a show, you've got a rider. That rider always has alcohol on it. A standard rider has alcohol on it.
I really wanted to ask you about that because my brother's a musician and he was on tour with a band who exclusively had alcohol on their rider, to the point where the manager was getting so worried about how much they were spending, he was taking the bottles and pouring it in to make full ones and tightening it back up again and going, yeah, it's a new one. But it is, isn't it? Freddie's talked about it before. He was, you know, corporate world, drinking is part of that culture. Me and Shaz come from a radio background and my God, people in radio like to have a drink.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, how, because I suppose you shot to fame, you know, it was so quick that suddenly everyone knew your name. And going into that industry, do you think that if that hadn't happened, would you have still had a toxic relationship with alcohol? Or do you
I already had a toxic relationship with alcohol.
Right.
I've had a toxic relationship with alcohol since I drank alcohol. And, like, that's made it significantly worse. That's a fact. But that was always there. And I was always going to be in music too. I was in music before that. So the thing is like actually in a lower down area of music, you can't avoid it. So like I can make requests. I'm at the point in my career and have been for a long time that on my tour bus, nobody drinks. And that's fine if you want to go to the pub, but don't bring booze on my tour bus because I don't want it on there and I pay £1,500 a day for this tour bus. So, and I'm paying whoever's on there. And that's a fair request. And so it's like my rider, I request non-alcoholic beer only, please. Like, guys, if you want to drink, like, I'll even sort out beers for other places, but I just don't want it around me. But earlier on, there's no way I could have made those requests because I wasn't the one who was employing people.
I think it takes balls to do that, Lucy.
I think one thing that I have always had but have slightly more control over and less haste and spite with is balls. And that I'm not afraid to say things or direct people that work for me. But when I was drinking, I was a prick. So, like, those
we're all
people,
nodding our heads. We're like, yeah, we're drinking like, there as well.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I would make really unjust demands. Or my demands would be, you're not fucking going to sleep.
Yep.
You're staying awake with me. You're on my tour bus. And like, so cringy. Like, you don't get to not drink. Now I'm just like the stone bitch the other way around.
But a nice one, a nice stone bitch.
No, I am. And do you know what? All my band and my tour manager's sober. My tour manager's sober. My keys player on that 36 date tour, he's like the nicest person in the world. He went sober. He was like, why not? Because he's amazing. And so we had this little sober team and it was just great. And it was probably one of the most enjoyable tours I've ever done. And I didn't have any lying on the floor eating five guys burgers before going on stage because I'm so hungover I can't even stand up. There was none of that.
We had a musician on, I think it was in the last series, a guy called Drew, who's an awesome musician in Australia. And he was saying, you know, they used to go on European tours and it would be all the stories, you know, on the tour bus and every night and a show every night and everything else. And he would say there was four of them in the band and two of them were sober already, but they were like, him and his drinking buddy were hitting it hard every night. And then, but just when he stopped and he could see it through his other bandmates' eyes who were sober. And he was just like, wow, what we must have been like. And we tell ourselves these stories that, you know, it's okay. And like you say, it's, we give ourselves the labels like, you know, I'm the musician, or in my case, it was, you know, I had a really tough day in this big, shiny corporate office that I felt intimidated in, or we've had a tough day at work, or we're locked down, or whatever it is. We always give ourselves that excuse to drink if we want to. But when once you stop, you could then give so many reasons to not drink and really live your full life.
100%. It's so ego-based, isn't it, drinking?
Yeah.
And like, my ego was horrific. It was horrific. And it was an ego that was protecting a really soft, insecure shell inside. And really, like, that's what I had to tackle. That's what I had to get rid of. Every night I had a different spirit on my rider so that if we had a show day without a show the next day, we'd all have, you know, 15 bottles of spirits. Like, and I remember a promoter, or I can't remember, he said I was the most difficult person he'd ever worked with. Like, he was on our bus for a tour and I used to think that was an accolade, and now I just like think, oh my god, I'm such a prick.
Lucy, what do you mean when you say that you think drinking is ego based?
I feel like a lot of drinking is kind of based on your ego, and like drinking culture I find is based on your ego. It's kind of like, for me, it's like my insecurities, the fact that maybe I was a little bit, I didn't really have anything to say, so that you get drunk and you find something to say, or you get drunk and you could talk louder than somebody who does in fact know exactly what they're saying. And you take away alcohol, which you will have experienced because you're 3.5 months in, you take away alcohol and all you're left with is your difficult self, your difficult emotions, your difficult feelings. And they're just there and they're tender and they're raw. And so alcohol is part of people's ego. And once you take it away, oh God, it's hard, but it's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. I think if I think back, not half the nights, but there were a lot of nights or days when, if I was honest with myself, I didn't really want to drink. I was either hungover, most likely, or just, you know, when you don't feel up for it. And then when you're saying to yourself, you know, like, come on, you're sort of getting yourself psyched up. Just get the first couple down you, then it'll be okay. And you're kind of like holding your nose and dribbling it down your chin and like just trying to chomp it down. And I was like, why am I doing it to myself? I don't want to do this. I would rather, like, you know, be cuddled up on a sofa with a soap opera. I mean, like, you know, like a Top Gun movie or something. And but they said that the ego won't let you just walk away from it and say, you know what, I don't want this anymore, because we have this persona of ourselves, and it's like, right, I've got to put on the mask again. I've got to paint on the smile. I've got to grab the drink and just sort of go on this same old sober, pissed merry-go-round.
Yeah. And now you can be like, do you know what? I like soap operas.
Yeah.
And I say, like, do you know what? Actually, no, I can't be asked to go out.
No,
because
exactly.
I don't want to.
Yeah. And you say, this is me. And I'm quite happy with it.
Not again, Freddie.
So Lucy, in the podcast, usually what happens is, as I say, this is me, and then someone will usually try and murder the song from the Greatest Showman soundtrack. I'm not going to let them today, because we're in the presence of a proper pop star.
When the sharpest words try to cut me down.
Exactly. And then that gets you right there.
Oh, man alive. It's a subject that comes up. It's come up a lot, Lucy, and it's really interesting what you said about ego and... I think I can probably speak for myself and Freddie. And when I used to go out, Lucy, I thought I was a really extrovert character, drunken dick, the loudest one at the party, the first to start the conga, the first to get the shots in, all that crap. When you strip it back and remove alcohol, actually, as Freddie was saying, I really like staying in on a Friday night now with a nice cup of decaf, decent film and a book, you know. I don't think I'm the extrovert I thought I was, or that people also thought that I was. And you sort of become this caricature of yourself and playing the drunken dick, and I must get drunk to go out and enjoy myself and take it away. And what you're left with, as Freddie says, this is me. And if people don't like it, jog on.
Absolutely. And do you know what the worst thing is about me is that I am still a dick.
Yes. Welcome to Over the Influence.
I go out and my mates are dancing. There's me with two Red Bulls in my back pockets on the dance floor, giving
Perfect.
It beans. Till 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, it's really funny because we'll go to like a takeaway. Well, we did before COVID or whatever. We'd go to like a takeaway. We'd get takeaway food. And like, what I remember biting into a chicken burger and being like, for God's sake, this isn't cooked properly. Taking it back, and I just put it on the counter and said, I'm sober. And he went and got me all this really nice stuff. And it's just far more enjoyable. I know, you know, people can get kind of weird or aggressive because they do. And that's part of a night out in England, unfortunately. Mm. And I can swerve that.
Yeah.
Instead of getting all paranoid and my ego being like, why are they looking at me? I'll be like, do you know what? I'm going to go dance somewhere else. And then I'm going to go and get a chicken burger that I'm not going to get salmonella from. And then I'm going to drive my friends home. Or I'm not. If I can't be arsed, they'll be getting an Uber.
Yeah.
But the ultimate, what it comes down to is yeah, you have the freedom to choose. And when you're drunk, you don't have the freedom to choose. And all you really have is that ego. It's so interesting.
It is fascinating,
it really
isn't it?
Is.
And like, if I was me 2 years ago listening to me say this, I'd be like, what a virtuous prick.
Lucy, none of us would be here. We'd all be pissed somewhere else.
Exactly.
We are just going to take a very quick break from this fabulous episode of Over the Influence. In fact, if you don't mind me asking, if you are enjoying this and you wouldn't mind leaving us a review and a rating at the end of it with your podcast provider, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you kindly. Just wanted to share a little bit of information with you about our online community. It's a brilliant, brilliant place. The feedback we get from our members is wonderful. You can sign up online. Just have a look. It'll cost you £20 a month. It is overtheinfluence.co.uk. As part of that membership, you get monthly masterclasses, you get access to the forums, you've got OTI chat, which is a bit like WhatsApp, but without having to give your contact details. You can join as many Zoom calls as you like. And as well, if you just want a little bit of a free alcohol-free inspiration, check out our blog. We have got updates and articles and success stories and inspiration. It's just fantastic. There is loads to go at. Fill your boots. The best things on there are our members' success stories. They really are inspirational. Take a look over theinfluence.co.uk, or if you would like any further info about what we do, drop us an email and we will get back. Absolutely not a problem. OTIHQ@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Lucy, as I said in the introduction, I have been stalking you on social media. I make no apologies. I love your story. I love your fitness page. I love your pictures. And there was something that made me howl on your Instagram this week. And you might know what I'm about to refer to. You posted a picture of yourself, literally with what's left of your knockers out on Instagram. And it was brilliant. And you were dealing with the trolls that have been giving you no end of crap on there. And you just said, I literally ran my tits off. Could you fill in the gaps with Freddie and Ben here, Lucy?
Yeah, so I've lost 3.5 stone, and that's from, you know, I stopped. I was kind of on my way to working out, changing my life around, but when I stopped drinking, that was like, bam. I started running in January, so I've not even been running for a year, but during lockdown, I was doing a half marathon every week. And Freddie, when you said you do ultras, I was like, oh, we're going to be best friends.
We are.
And running just became this thing that just like fitness now, it's across the board for me, strength and conditioning, CrossFit, spin, anything. Pole dancing I did last night. I love it. But running really just got a hold of me. And I literally ran my tits off. I have really low body fat now. I have a 6-pack, which again, if you'd have said
I've
that
seen it.
2 years ago, I would just laugh in your face. And my boobs that used to be a D are now nothing. The breast tissue was eaten with the running. And so my boobs are just like spaniel's ears, empty bags of no fun.
But you've posted this on social media, and every credit, because you are there with these little stars over your little bits here on the end.
Well, I just thought...
No shit's really given.
Honest, right, and people ask me all sorts of things about losing weight. How do you do it? How do you feel? Blah, blah, blah. You look great. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I take really good pictures, and I put them on Instagram. But actually, my tits are fucked. And so is, like, parts of underneath my arm. So is parts of my belly. But I don't show you that because of what is left of my fragile ego. So I just decided, you know what, if people are going to give me abuse, at least give me abuse about something that exists, you know. Tell me I've got shit tits. It's true. It doesn't offend me. I told you that.
By tackling people for whatever it is, whether it's, you know, whether it's that around the fitness or the ego or anything else, it's if you say it to people and say, yeah, it's like that scene out of 8 Mile at the end when he's like, yeah, I am this, I am that. And, you know, if you say it to people, they say, well, what else have you got? Because I've accepted who I am and this is who I am and I like it. And then it just sort of takes their ammunition away.
We have to channel our inner Eminem.
We do.
You know, Lucy, so I have also, I'm on a weight loss journey as well as an alcohol-free journey.
Oh,
but actually today I got on the scales and it was 2 stone down. I say it was my heaviest in lockdown. It was the point in lockdown where I stopped checking. So it could have got a lot worse than where I was. But do you think, would you have, let's say that you carried on drinking, would the running still have been a thing? Would that still have arrived in your life? Or do you think that the stopping drinking enabled you to think about that?
None of this would have been a...
Really?
None of it. Because I've tried to feel this way about fitness. I've been to personal trainers. Matter of fact, Ryan, who is, I think he's my personal trainer. I think he's like going on 6 years sober. He's either 5 or 6 years sober. I've been training with him on and off for a few years. I didn't even know Ryan was sober. And I used to be like, oh, mate, I had a beer last night. I don't really feel that good. And I'd come in and I'd be really half-assed, or I just wouldn't at all. And I'd be like, I'll still pay for the session. And it used to really piss him off. And now I know why. But he just waited with me until I got to that point. And now me and him are really close, and he's just, he's a very knowledgeable guy. And no, because the biggest thing that is removed by alcohol is productivity, creativity, aspirations, inspirations. It's all, I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, and I actually don't think that this is an active conspiracy.
Can't wait to hear it though.
This, the world is conditioned to drink. Some of the most successful people on the planet do not drink. Most of the most successful people on the planet do not drink at all. And it's funny that we're just like, oh yeah, I know. Yeah, you drink this. We'll advertise this on TV. Like, people will go on The X Factor and sing songs about getting smashed and the whole country will love it. Like, the conspiracy would be that we are kind of fed this culture to make us far less powerful than we could be.
I love a conspiracy theory, because there was also, I think it was, I might have even been listening to our own podcast this, in a very self-indulgent way. And I think this came up, but the whole thing around also, the look at the British Saturday night, it's, and I've done it, I've just realised, I think I was probably actually doing it whilst I was watching you on The X Factor. I was sat there on the sofa, getting pissed, cheering along, getting drunk, watching you singing a song about getting drunk. And that's what thousands, if not millions, of people are doing, because that's just conditioned.
11 million people were watching that show at that time. Kids, teenagers. And I feel like now, looking back, I'm like, like 8-year-olds would come up to me singing it and I'd be like...
But I think it's really commendable, Lucy. I mean, you know, compared to us three old crows on this podcast, you're really young. And I think it's really commendable that you've had the guts to tackle this and put your hand up and say no more. And the fact you are sharing it all over your social media and coming on here to share your story is really important, particularly for that younger audience who, you know, you are showing that there is another way of doing it.
It's funny because, you know, we're talking about the trolls and stuff. I get trolled, like, Ben, I've been trolled for, like, losing weight. So, like, weight loss shaming, like, in it, to relate to Freddie, I've been fit shamed. Like, and then to relate to you, to all of us, I've been sober shamed. Like, nobody likes to see. Actually, do you know what? A very small minority like to see people doing well in modern times. And sobriety is like a big part of that. And it's that ego. People like, I've loved speaking openly about it, but I've really struggled with the way people are, especially about sobriety. People comment like on a long, you know, the long posts that I do that are really honest and open and about how I feel. Yeah. Someone would be like, why don't you have a beer then? Or you think you're so good and all this and all that. And I understand. That's the
But you
worst
know where
thing.
They're coming from, because exactly. more often than not, people that throw it back at you are the ones that, you know, quite often are struggling themselves.
And I just really hope, like, my hope is genuinely that those people, like, find something as quite frankly incredible as being sober. I don't wish anything bad on the people that are horrible to me. That's the thing that's also hard.
It is, and I heard a podcast somewhere and they say, focus on giving love to people, even if they're giving you so much shit. Just say that I wish you all the best and everything else. And it can be hard sometimes, and it can be so easy to fall into a trap of thinking I'm going to try and please this bunch of people, so I'll do this, or I'll please this bunch and I'll be like that. But it's, if you're not pleasing yourself, then it's all for nothing.
Something really interesting about insights is that I'm losing like up to 1,000 followers a day and gaining 1,000 followers a day.
Really?
Wow.
And it's been going on like that for months. And I'm actively losing. And I would say that I would love to see what's happened, but I think I've completely lost half of what used to be my audience of people watching me so smashed on my story. I'd have to wake up the next day and delete it, or like doing something to camera and not being able to really legibly talk. But it's really funny, like, the audience has changed, And that makes me happy.
It's people like us now, Lucy.
Yeah.
Lucy, you're having an influence in the lives of thousands of people through your social media posts. But they're kind of the thousands of people who see you through a screen. And one of the saddest things for me, I got a message the other day from a mate who I haven't spoken to for ages. And he was like, oh, I can't wait to come up and, you know, after all this COVID shit's gone and we can get on the beers. And I was like, oh, actually, mate. And I was really proud. Actually, mate, I've knocked the beers on the head. I haven't had a beer for 3.5 months. He just messaged back, you pussy. And I was like,
oh, man.
Oh, it's the first time that I've had that. I'm just like, what you make? But the thing that made me really sad was that I know that he's a lovely bloke in a lot of ways, but he's never ever going to change his relationship with alcohol, and he's never going to understand how it is good and why it's good. I mean, Lucy, what effect has it had on, because you're talking about how your life on stage and your life at home, two very different places. We know how you're influencing people in the big wide world, but how has it affected your personal relationships and the people around you?
Well, my mum just celebrated a year sober.
Brilliant.
Wow. Oh, that's brilliant. Awesome.
And there's a part in the song Sober that's like, they say old habits die the hardest. I think I learnt mine from the best. Like, my parents have a... I'm not going to speak for them, but that's always been a very tumultuous relationship. And so actually seeing that from my mum is incredible. And our relationship is better for that. I care. I used to wonder if I cared about people as much as I should. And I didn't. I actually didn't. And now I feel connections with people. Like, I'm a better auntie. I'm a better friend. I am there, not just physically, but mentally. I am present for my friends. And instead of it being the me show, and which it can be, because that's my career, is like, it's literally all about me, and it all rides on me. You know, if I don't turn up to a show, then 3,500 people are just standing there twiddling their thumbs. Like, it scares me that actually my social life kind of also became me just talking about me. And I never really, like, my relationship with my best friend is amazing. He's also amazing. He drinks. And, like, he could get smashed, but he's, like, a really great drunk person who's fun and happy. And even if he's not happy, it's fine because he's just lovely. But he'll just drink non-alcoholic drinks with me all night. Like, my relationships are better. The structure of my life is better. I always felt like I didn't really have a home. Not a physical place to belong, but now I really, as long as I am in this body, I feel, and not physically, you know what I mean? Not the way I look. As long as I am me, I'm going to feel at home and comfortable where I am. And I truly believe that sobriety is responsible for that.
All those things you listed there, though, Lucy, about being a better friend and a better auntie and caring about people. We've talked about relationships a lot and our feelings a lot on the podcast. It's always there. If there's somebody drinking now, listen to this. You were already those things, Lucy. You know, myself and Freddie weren't always drunken dicks. Underneath that, it's there. But you need to strip back the alcohol, don't you? And once that is removed, this is what's left. It just dulls your shine.
Yeah. And I always used to think you had to get people really smashed to get their true feelings. And that's not actually the true feeling.
It's the opposite.
It's the exaggerated, irritated and unreasonable version of the feelings that they might have suppressed. Now I just say to my friends, like, are you okay? And then I've looked at them and listened to them long enough to know that they're not. And that's what you miss. That's the kind of stuff you miss.
Lucy, you talked about running and everything and this fitness journey you've been on. I'm trying to convince Shazza to do an ultra marathon with me. Oh. And if you'd like to join us, then you are more than welcome.
I'm totally on it. Totally.
Exactly.
Away, backcourt, what's going on?
Well, the thing is, Shaz, I thought you'd say that, and that's awesome that you're on it, Lucy, because we all say that with things like ultra marathons, and we're like, oh, no, I can never do that. But then I'd say to you, 2 and a bit years ago, you'd said, oh, I can never give up alcohol, but you did it.
Yeah, true.
So I think
true.
He's using your own words against you now.
How very dare he, Freddie Bennett.
So brilliant. Well, Lucy, Shazza, Freddie, ultra marathon, it's happening.
If Lucy's in, I'm in. But Lucy, you've got to train me for this nonsense. And also, I could do to run some of my tits off because they do get in the way.
I've heard running with tits is awful anyway.
It's really bad, trust me. It's not great.
Well, running with Freddie is a bit similar, but just a different sort of tit.
It's just, there's something that correlates between running and sobriety. Some people have it and some people don't, but the people that get it, jeez, it's like, it's contagious.
I know. I used to run a bit whilst I was drinking still, but I'd be like, I used to love that feeling on a Saturday afternoon. You do your long run and then I'd be like, right, bang, you can have your shower, have your beer in the shower, and then that's your Saturday night on underway. But now that there's nothing better than getting up early, and I can't believe I'm bloody saying this, but you know, or getting up early at the weekend, doing a run, and then that feeling when you're in the shower. The mental feeling that you get, in terms of just that feeling of achievement and the endorphins and the fact that you've just sorted your head out, which is the most important thing for me. If I haven't been running for a few days, my head just starts to go crazy. And for my mental health, which is a whole other story, but it really just does sort me out.
I feel exactly the same.
Spraggan, it's been fascinating talking to you. You described yourself a little bit earlier in the podcast as a prick. Far from it. You've been wonderful. You've been delightful and a real inspiration to us three for a kickoff, but to so many people that have been listening. And in particular, I think to young women, you know, every credit to you for doing this. It's been a joy to chat. We've had an absolute ball. We've come a long way, haven't we, since last night, Be a Fear. Just tell us, Lucy, where we can find your new single, Sober, and where should people go if they want to find out more about you and what you're up to?
You can find me at lucyspraggan.com, and everything is on Spotify and all your good streaming platforms.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Lucy. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. I've absolutely loved it, and I look forward to our ultra marathon adventure.
Brilliant.
We will actually have to run together. So yeah. I need to work on my pacing for my marathon. So if anyone's up for a half marathon at any point, just give me a shout. Right.
Let's do it.
Hello, this is Ben, and you've come to the end of another fabulous episode of Over the Influence. If you enjoyed it and your podcast app lets you leave a rating or a review, please could you do that for us? A 5-star rating would be fabulous, a written review even better. Basically, by leaving a review or giving us a rating, you're helping other people to find us, because it's something to do with algorithms and podcast apps, and I'm not quite sure how it works, but essentially, you actively engaging with us and leaving your written review or leaving us your 5 stars lets other people know that this podcast is great and that they should listen to it. As you know, we're all about shouting about the joys of sobriety from the rooftops here at Over the Influence, and we want to encourage as many people as we can to try giving up alcohol to see how it makes them feel. So again, please leave us a rating and a review. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.